He turned to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. We'll read from verse 17. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. When they were come through him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. For now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so labouring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul, as we have read, is on his last journey up to Jerusalem. He's called the elders from the assembly at Ephesus to meet him at Miletus on the coast. As we read these verses, we would think they were simple things that he brings before those elders. Things probably we've heard over and over again. And yet as he feels responsible to bring these matters before them on this last time he will meet them, we realize how serious they are in the sight of God and the Holy Spirit. I believe we do well to take account of them, especially in the days in which we live. And he starts by rehearsing his visit to them. And he says, Ye know after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. He was a man who moved in exactly the same way, displaying the same testimony wherever he was at any time. He didn't change it according to his audience, or the time of the year, or the time of the day. At all seasons, there was a similarity about his testimony, just as it was with the Saviour, the same yesterday and today and forever. He was here upon earth. He says, I was like that among you, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We can only serve effectively today if we have this humility of mind that I know nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. Only by divine power bringeth home to my mind what the Word of God means, and divine power flowing through me but I may manifest that in my service. Brethren and sisters, I wonder if we've lost the force of Scripture. The Apostle prayed in the Epistle to the Ephesians that they might know, each one of us, something of the power that raised Christ from the dead, raised Him to the throne of heaven. He wanted them individually to know it, every brother and every sister, that God's power might be working as they sought to serve Him. We cannot serve in our own strengths, in our own knowledge. We must acknowledge our utter humility and utter impossibility to do anything in our own strength, and draw from that inexhaustible reservoir above to meet our every need. And if I begin to think that I'm better than others, that I can serve without getting divine power, that I can preach without knowing the divine word that I should say, I'm heading for trouble spiritually. And I cannot expect results from my service. With all humility of mind, Peter says, be clothed with humility. Move in an atmosphere of humility, acknowledging your nothingness in the sight of God. Oh, that we might have this attitude today. That in our humility and in our humbleness, the power of the risen Christ might flow through us. It's there, ready to come. It's available to each one of us this afternoon, if we prepare to take that lonely place that the Saviour took here upon earth, that divine power might flow through Him as a man. He says, I was among you with many tears. I wonder how often we've shed tears for the disappointments in God's service. Above all, for the way He's grieved with the way things are going, the disobedience to God's word, my own failure, shedding tears. Now we need to get to that broken state when He can take me up and use me for His glory. And He said, I kept nothing back from you. I was just teaching just the same things, whether it was in public or in private. And I made no difference in my gospel preaching between Jews and Gentiles. I didn't alter my content of the message to suit my audience. I never changed it to avoid upsetting someone. I wonder how often that happens today amongst us. How we need to be the same, unchanging, moving in the same way and preaching and teaching the same things, no matter who our audience is. Oh, of course we'll be simple with young ones, deeper with older ones, but the message will be the same, and what we are teaching will be the same. And I plead today that we're not afraid to teach young ones the deep truths of Scripture, instead of just confining them to simple stories they've heard since birth. Now he said, I was the same in what I preached, what I testified, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great foundation stones of the gospel. You know that well here in Ireland. Repentance toward God, acknowledging as a sinner I have no claims upon Him. And in my utter inability to do anything about it, turning in faith to the work of the Saviour at Calvary. I wonder if there are those here this afternoon, not safe, outside of Christ. If they go on like that, shut out of heaven for eternity. Wondrous grace, the Spirit of God speaks to you now. All you have to do is to repent toward God. Acknowledge that you are sinners in His holy sight, and believe that the death of the Saviour can meet your eternal need and bring you into God's family. The need for us to be very concerned that this gospel is proclaimed and continues to be proclaimed. You're very blessed in Ireland. You need to be exercised that the gospel of this character is continued to you. But it's not watered down. It's not shaped. It is unchanging in its content. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so says Paul, he goes on. He's going bound in spirit to Jerusalem so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He might finish his course with joy. How important it is that we seek to order our lives in a way that will give me joy in the presence of God. I'll rejoice in something of his approbation of what I do, of my motives, and the way I go about it. But I'm doing all he tells me to do. I'm not giving it up because I'm disappointed. To finish my course, finish that which he has set out for me to do. The Epistle to Colossians closes with those well-known words to be read in public and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord, that you fulfill it, that you fill it up, that you leave nothing undone. Read out publicly, you wonder what that brother thought of it. Take heed to the ministry that the Lord has given you, and fulfill it, leave nothing undone of it. As we examine our hearts this afternoon, the young and old alike, brethren and sisters, are we doing all we possibly can to fulfill the ministry that God has given me? Maybe public, maybe private. Others may not know about it, but he knows. And he expects me to finish it, not give up, to go on doing it until he tells me to stop. Oh, if our names were read out like that in public, what will we have to say? I trust that the Spirit of God will speak to each one of our hearts this afternoon, that we may be brethren and sisters that continue on in his service. Testify the gospel of the grace of God. That title of the gospel that is so comprehensive speaks of all the manifold grace of God made available to sinners, made available to the ones who believe, in time and in eternity. A unique message entrusted to us his people. The gospel of the grace of God. The wondrous grace God has shown to each one of us here who are saved. We shall seek to fulfill our service in gratitude to him. The gospel that tells of the grace of God to those who are sinners here unsaved at the moment. Oh, we plead with you to listen to that message and get saved here this afternoon. Says Paul, I wanted to finish my course with joy and fulfill this ministry. May we have the same desire. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. We have the subject of this preaching. The kingdom of God. A realm that is offered to the sinner in the gospel. A realm where God rules. Where God desires to have the last say in everything. Where God's word is supreme. And man's word is of no account at all. The kingdom of God. Each one of us saved here today is a member of the kingdom of God. I know it's a sphere of profession, but I'm not concerned with that this afternoon. We're each in the kingdom of God. We're in a realm where his word is to be paramount. James says, if I don't obey part of his word, I'm turning my back on the lot. I can't pick and choose. How solemn that is. If I say I'm not going to obey part of his word, I'm turning my back on it all. The Saviour said, if I don't obey his word,
I'm not manifesting divine love. How important these things and other words are in the light of today's attitude on the part of so many, that I can depart from the simple teaching of Scripture. Oh, I preach the gospel, but as regards the way we gather, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It's fundamental to the glory of the Lord and the glory of God. It's fundamental for the fulfillment of His purposes. The kingdom of God into which we've been brought at salvation is a kingdom where He expects to be king, to be supreme in my life, to have full control. But I obey His word. I go to Him with my desires for knowledge of His will. It's not just a realm of blessing for the sinner who is saved. We put ourselves under His direction. And when we disagree with His decisions and His word, we're turning our back and say, we don't want His will. We're going to go our own way, even as believers. How solemn that is for us. He says that, I take you to record today that I'm free of the blood of all men, for I'm not ashamed to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He didn't pick and choose what he taught. He taught the whole counsel of God. And when we read what he taught to the people of the epistle, we realize how far short today we are teaching the comprehensive counsel of God in his word. I regard John's gospel as one of the least understood books in the Bible. Oh, we know the miracle. We know the feeding of 5,000, but how many could tell me the Lord's discourse that followed? We know about healing the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, but who could tell me the discourse that followed? And so on through the gospel. Oh, let's get down to a study of the word of God in its fullness. All the counsel of God is for all the people of God. And the Holy Spirit, which the Savior said, will guide us into the truth in all its paths. If we let it, He won't force us. If we ask Him, He will guide us. And so, none of us can escape responsibility and divine provision for our needs. Now we come to the meat of the letter, the meat of the address, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and he's speaking to the elders, the overseers, the shepherds. Take heed to yourselves and to all the little flock. For he regards that company of believers at Ephesus, little in the eyes of men, of no value in the eyes of men, as a little flock that you're responsible for shepherding, for feeding, for protecting, for guiding, for meeting their every need, keeping them away from danger, dealing with those who will seek to attack them. Everything a shepherd does for his flock, you should be doing for that little flock in the eyes of men. But you're not to regard them like that. In the sight of God, there's something different. Over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, or in the which elders are not on a pedestal over the flock. They are in the flock, setting them an example that the flock are to follow. They are marked out by the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that. Not by the vote of believers. Not because they have a business under their control or any human importance. They are those marked out by the Holy Spirit, fulfilling in measure the qualifications of Timothy and Titus. And we do well to remember that today. He will provide all the elders we need if we ask Him for it. Now, I don't know what the situation is in that, so I can speak free. There are very few elders, according to Scripture, in England. What grieves me is there is little exercise that God will raise up through scriptural elders. And we won't get them unless we start asking for them. You want to be very exercised about the elders of your assembly. You want to be exercised that God will bring on younger brethren to take their places in due course, marked out by the Holy Spirit. And younger brethren want to be exercised early in life, that they will not make errors of one kind and another that will prevent them functioning as elders later in life. How many take steps that they bitterly regret later on, because it's prevented them functioning the way God wanted them to function, as shepherds of the flock. Over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd, to feed as a shepherd, the Church of God, the Assembly of God at Ephesus. Or how we need to remind ourselves that moving in the Kingdom of God, the Assembly is the Church of God. He has said how it's to be fought. He has said how it's to be conducted. He has said every detail concerning it. And it's His. It is not ours. It doesn't belong to any believer. And no believer has the right to say how he thinks it should be done if it's contrary to Scripture. Or may we be very clear on this today. It is the Church of God. And He is to be in control. And His presence is to be felt when things are moving according to His mind and will. The Church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood, or your margin will say, the blood of His own, speaking of the Savior. The assembly is very, very precious to God Himself. It comes into existence on the basis of the sacrifice made at Calvary, and that alone. A gathering where there are no distinctions nationally, or socially, or in any other way. A unique gathering. Men have tried to do that and failed completely. It is an assembly purchased by the blood of His own dear Son. If it's as precious to God as that, how dare we do and say things that mar it, that spoil it? You sisters have ornaments in your home that you're very careful how you dust them and wash them. You don't want to crack them. You don't want to spoil them in any way, because they're precious to you. And yet, we treat the assembly sometimes as though it's ours. But I can say what I like, and the results don't matter. I can do what I like, and I don't worry who I upset. An assembly that is very precious indeed in the sight of God. And I beg of you this afternoon that you treat the assembly in that way, that you won't do or say anything that will spoil it. It needn't be doctrinal. There was an assembly in the north of England some years ago where an argument started in one family about whether a certain window should be open or not. And then it widened. The result was the assembly was split in two completely. And in the end it closed down. All because of forgetting it was God. It was not for me to say what I want. And this has happened on more than one occasion. We need to remind ourselves we are very precious ground, gathering to the name of our Lord Jesus. And I must not do anything that would spoil what God regards as very, very precious. I can do it so easily. I can do it without thinking. Somebody riles me and up goes my temper and I say something I afterwards regret, but I said it. I must take great care of this little flock, the Church of God, for it's His Word that rules. He's given guidance for every situation. And we must regard it. Paul says, the apostle, I know after I got that there were those coming among you, perverting things, treating with contempt what I taught you. He says, therefore watch. Be on your guard. Things may be going well, I trust they are, in the assembly you come from. You need to be on your guard. One is convinced today that Satan is attacking companies of God's people, especially the attacking younger brethren. And we need to realize that things may be going well at this moment. We've got to be very much on our guard, but he doesn't come in his subtle ways. We need to be watchful people. Yes, elders especially, yes, but these words are addressed to all, really. And so he says, therefore what? And remember, for 3 years I didn't cease to warn you about these things. So he didn't just warn them once, he kept on about it, over and over again. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This is all he can do. And he can't commend them to greater protection than commending them to God and to the word of his grace. Commending them to the God who saved them. Commending them to the God whose company, whose house they are in, the church of God. Commending them to the God who wants to move amongst them to his glory, who wants to protect them in every way to meet their every need. The one who wants to work through each one, brother and sister, displaying divine power. For this may be seen in the area in which the company is. May be seen in the area where the believer lives. All the potential, if every believer here was manifesting divine power day by day, in their individual testimony and intellectually. It is, I commend you to a God who's vitally concerned in these things. More concerned than he was in the days of creation. He's concerned that he can work through you to his eternal glory. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. This word that he has given us that fits us for every possible contingency in principle that I can find in life. But as I read the life of the Saviour, I find him in all kinds of difficulties, situations he wouldn't desire to be in, which in principle will tell me how I'm to react from similar situations. I commend you to God. And the word he has left on record, the word of his grace, of his provision for our needs, which he's kindly left to meet those needs, which, he says, is able to build you up, to strengthen you, to enable you to stand, to enable you to stand out in a world that knows nothing of bound to the claims of God, which is able to build you up, each brother and sister here this afternoon, and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I take it at the judgment seat of Christ, the things we've been mentioning here in Acts 20 will come out as to how far I have sought to put them into practice. How far I've been prepared to take that humble place in the sight of God and draw upon him from him the resources that I need in order to make the gospel known, publicly or privately, in order to witness to the power of Christ in daily life, meeting us in every situation, in order to approach the local church of God, the assembly, with the right attitude, is very precious. I'm going to guard it. I'm going to treasure it. I'm going to do nothing to spoil it. In fact, I will do all I possibly can by his help to strengthen it, to encourage it, to repair any damage that's been done to it. All the amount of work for the local assembly involves those with a concern for it. And he expects me to be concerned for it. And he says, I commend you to God. I wonder how often we turn to our God for help, advice and guidance. Well, we do it when we're in trouble right away. When things are outside the scope of our ability to deal with them. But as a believer, I need to turn to God in every situation. Common sense isn't enough to deal with those situations. And the Word of God is to be the basis of my life. To be taught to children from a babe, as Paul says concerning Timothy. From a babe hast thou known the Holy Scripture. Filling his mind with them before he could talk it. We need to have a life based upon it. And our children's life based upon it. I commend you to God as the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Shouldn't be any weak believers, you know. Shouldn't be faltering believers. The word of God respects them and encourages them. And when we stand before that judgment seat, if we sought to do these things, there will be an enhanced inheritance for you and I. An eternal inheritance. A position in that millennial kingdom that we believe is coming so soon. We just thank God for providing all that we need to fulfill his purpose for us while we wait for the Savior to come and to take us home. Or may we be challenged by this chapter. Not write it off with just something simple. These principles involved here would apply to each assembly today just as much, if not more, than they did in Ephesus. The resources of God are the same. If we draw upon those, there's no reason why we can't make spiritual progress today, even though things are hard. The power will be His. We'll be the willing vessel through whom He can display it to His eternal glory.